welcome everybody. So glad you're joining us. Let's worship our God together as we sing. Here we go.
The beginning and the ending, the Creator. These are the names of God, mighty warrior, consuming fire, Abba Father. Our high tower, these are the names of God, gentle whisper, intercessor, he's our helper, these are the names of God. There is power in his name, there is healing in his name, there's salvation in Messiah, our Redeemer, the Rewarder, yes. These are the names of God, Man of Sorrows, Friend of Sinners, the Good Shepherd. These are the names of God, He's the Author of Salvation, He's our Teacher.
Have a deep, unspeakable
And there we sang, it said, I'll keep my trust in you. And I want to be the first to admit that's been kind of hard this season. And I wonder if there's a reminder today, even as we're singing this song, there's something gently tugging your heart and mine, saying, will you believe? And maybe we forgot, or maybe this is the first time we're feeling that kind of nudge. I want to invite you to say that our God is a trustworthy God, even when it doesn't feel like it. And my prayer and our prayer today is, Lord, help me believe. Help me believe today. I want to keep my trust in you. I think we got to sing that again. Say it like this. Oh, Lord, I believe in you.
Lord, I believe in you, and I will
highest King would welcome me. I was lost, but He brought me. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love for me. Let's sing. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Free at last.
Free at last. He has ransomed. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave, we say, Jesus died for me. Yes, He died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
In my Father's house,
in my Father's house,
there's
a place.
Thank you, Jacob, and the worship team. For any visitors or guests, my name is Tom. What an honor to have you with us. And man, we just sang some powerful truths. The truest thing about us is who God says that we are. Will you pray with me? God, we even now just thank you for the truth of your word. We adore you. We honor you. We say thank you for all of your goodness, for every good gift that we have comes from you. Lord, we want to confess that there are times when we forget that there are times when we don't focus on your goodness. So forgive us for that. God, we want to thank you for your provision in our life. Lord, we want to pray for our friends and our families. And I want to encourage you now, church, to just for a moment, pray for your family by name. Pray for your friends by name. Lift them up. We thank you for them, Lord. God, we want to bring you any of our anxieties. Your word says, cast your anxiety on the Lord, for He cares for you. What do you feel anxious about, church? Even now, bring those anxieties to God. God, we thank you that you are the God who loves us, who sees us, who names us, and who hears our prayers. That we are who you say that we are. And for that, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, I want to welcome everyone, and I am so glad that you've chosen to join us today. A special welcome to any guests or visitors that might be joining us. Wanted to share something kind of exciting. Our student ministries this past Saturday had something they called Camp Day. They had 129 students be part of that, social distancing, of course, in effect. And they had 39 students either make a first time or a recommitment to Jesus Christ. And so that's something we can celebrate. God is on the move among us and through us. And I want to thank you for all of you who serve with our student ministries. Also, I want to encourage you to continue your giving online through our Christian Assembly LA app or through our website by clicking on the Give tab. Thank you for your generosity. It empowers all that we do, both locally and around the world. This weekend, we have the joy of baby dedications, both in our online services as well as our outdoor service at Village Christian School. And so we're going to join Robert Concepcion now for our online baby dedication.
Thanks, Tom. Hello, everyone. My name is Robert. I am one of the pastors here at Christian Assembly. The Bible tells us that children are a gift from the Lord. And so today, I have the privilege to introduce to you and dedicate Matthew Laird, gifted to Gil and Diane Nickdow. Now, why do we do baby dedications here at CA? We do it because this is what we see in the scriptures. Jesus himself was dedicated at the temple at a young age. So for us, this is not just a religious ritual. We believe that something very profound happens when a child is dedicated back to the Lord by their parents. It is also an expression by the parents to commit in raising their child up in the Lord with the hope that he or she will come to faith in Jesus. Gil and Diane, it is an honor to be here with you today on your special day. And as part of your church family, we count it a privilege to join with you in dedicating your precious gift back to the Lord. Now, before I pray for baby Matthew, I just want to say two things to both of you. First of all, the greatest treasure you could give to your son is a strong pursuit of Jesus Christ. You are going to be Matthew's first model of what it looks like to follow Jesus. So I just want to encourage you to continue growing in him, pursuing him, and letting your son see you live that out. You have the awesome privilege of introducing him to God's immeasurable love and grace. The next thing is be very intentional about your relationship with one another. What you say and do at home will set your child up to develop a strong and solid identity and to have healthy relationships in the future. Having your son see you love each other well is going to be such a blessing for him. So with that, I want to invite everyone watching to extend their hand and pray with me for baby Matthew. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the gift of baby Matthew in the life of Gil and Diane. We thank you, Lord, that all good and perfect gift comes from you. So we recognize that, Lord, and we are ever so thankful. Lord, I pray your blessing on Matthew. I pray, Lord, for your protection. I pray, Lord, that all the good things you have planned for him will come true, will come to pass, oh God. Lord, would you even gift him with great friends in his lifetime, Lord? Would you give him friends, Lord, that will encourage him and have and grow with him, Lord, as they have this faith in you and this journey of faith to you, Lord, and having them come to the knowledge of your saving grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's continue in our worship as we hear our sermon for today.
I want to begin by extending a heartfelt greeting to all the CA community, and what a high honor it is to join with those of you who are a part of this service, this online service. We come to week number 7 in our series, our Can Do series, and we've had a theme verse, which we're going to begin with again this week, Philippians 4:13, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. It's short enough. Why don't you say it with me? Say it reading. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. 2020 was quite a year. A year unlike any that we have lived through before. 2020 was a year where we were soaked, we were saturated, we were immersed, we were submerged. Get all the synonyms. We were marinated in hard, difficult, negative words that left a mark on us. In the same way that a tattoo leaves a mark on your body, we were, if you please, tattooed with three things. And let me explain. It was just after Christmas, last Christmas. I was in my car driving. I had the news on, but I really wasn't paying attention. When the announcer said, in 90 seconds, we're going to give the results of the National Wellness Survey that was done. I'd never heard of it, and it caught my attention. And so I listened intently. And 90 seconds later, they said that there is a group I've never heard of who for 50 years has done a national wellness assessment or survey, they called it. And they said the results were that from year to year, there's always been slight changes, but they had never seen anything like these changes in the end of 2020. They said they were wild, extreme, and staggering. And they said three things emerged from this wellness survey. The first was people are afraid. The second is that people are anxious. And the third is that people are highly discouraged. I thought in that moment how grateful I am that in 2020 there was also another word, an eternal word, a more powerful than word that rose above every other word. Tommy Walker writes and sings so beautifully in his song, "Your word, Lord, will be the last word." And for all of us where his word, his divine word, was our daily bread, we experience the force, the power of that word as we open the scriptures. And that word rose above every other word. And his word, by the way, leaves a mark. It, if you please, tattoos you with not fear, but faith, not with anxiety, but a calm trust that everything is under his control. And it leaves you with a mark of encouragement. I relearned a lesson last year that I've relearned every year. You'd think I'd finally learn it. But it is simply this, that every person you encounter, without exception, is battling something. Everybody you encounter. I got a call mid-2020 from a couple who asked if we could meet together. Now, I said, of course we can. So we arranged to meet at a park so we would give each other distance. And when we got there, now, if you knew this couple, by all appearances, they've got everything wired. They've been married 20 years, always seem to be smiling. They got 2.3 kids. They have impressive, well-paying marketplace jobs. And to boot, they're pretty people. Pretty people. When the train called pretty showed up at my station, I was late for that train. They're pretty. They both have six-packs. And some of us, I'm sporting a whole case, 4 six-packs, some of us. But if you looked at them, you'd think these guys have got it all going on. We met at the park, and after some brief exchanges, I mean minutes into them sitting down, pouring out of them was the battles that they are facing. And they were so fiercely discouraged that they said to me, "We just wanted someone to know, I think we're done." You know, discouragement has one intent, and it's to sideline you. It's to take you out of the game. It's to get you to quit. No wonder the Bible says, "Blessed are those who endure." The year was 1974. I was a first-year, brand-new hire on the pastoral team here at Christian Assembly. And I was eager, I was hungry to be used by God. And I asked this one simple question: God, how is it that you want to uniquely use me to bring the person and ministry of Jesus to bear in what people are facing? I remember thinking, what do you say? What do you do with people? Now, at that time, there were two very clear and opposing schools of thought. The one was what I'll call the Bible-only school. They frowned on anything to do with counseling, and the word therapy was, well, you might as well just go off with the devil. All you need, they said, is the Bible. When you meet with people, crack that baby open and let it rip. Hard cracking truth is all that people need. Call them, call out their sin, and call them to repent and level them with truth. If they come up for a breath of air, take them down again with the Word of God. There was a second camp, a second school. And they said, yes, Bible, and yes, prayer, but life is complex. Things that happened in people's childhood can have an impact for years to come. People need a place to talk, to process. They need to be listened to and loved on. So don't step too hard. Go easy. And I got to tell you, I was confused. I had no idea which was the correct school of thought. So I went to a person who I would call a mentor, highly influenced my life. And I explained what was going on, and I said, I need your help. Now, this person was a female, 20 years my senior, African-American, highly educated, advanced degrees in theology and degrees in marriage and family counseling. And she was a full-time part of our Christian Assembly pastoral staff. And I said to her, I said, look, I don't know what to do. Can you help me? She said, well, I'll do my best. And she, by the way, was to this day the most, the person that I most watched bring the life and ministry of Jesus to bear in people's lives. Oh, how she loved God, how she loved the scripture. She could pray like no one I know, but oh, how she loved people and understood their complexity. So when I explained to her what I was facing, she said, would you like to join me in some of my appointments? I thought, jackpot, I would love to watch her in action. And so that week, she had a couple that was coming to see her, and she explained to them that, look, Mark is a trainee. He'll just sit off and be an observer. So this couple came, and they were a piece of work. All I can tell you, they were a train wreck. They came in, and he was an obnoxious, arrogant punk. Nothing worse than a man who becomes nothing more than an arrogant, obnoxious punk. And before his rear end even hit the chair, he lit into his wife. He was just, it was mean, it was nasty, it was ugly, it was below the belt. And then she chimed in, and she was no cupcake herself, let me tell you. And after a couple minutes of this, my mentor, she said, "Stop, stop, stop, that's it. I'm going to take the floor now." And she got out her Bible, and she read for at least a good 5 minutes scriptures about the love of God, about forgiveness, about just how God can make a difference. And then she said, "We're going to pray together." She extended her hands and said, "Let's join hands." And he said, "I'm not holding hands with you or with my wife." And with a voice of authority, my mentor, she said, "You will either take our hands, or with your hand, you will put it on that doorknob, open the door, and you will not come back." "Take him down, Murray," I thought. "Cold cock him right here on the spot." Finally, he joined hands and she prayed for them. And then when she was done, she said, "I want to take a few moments and encourage you." I thought, encourage you? I was thinking she should tell him, "Look, you guys just need to get a divorce. This thing is done. This is DOA. There's no pulse in this thing at all. Encourage him." I thought she's going to have to make crud up. But she turned first to him, and she began to affirm some things that she saw, places where he was attempting to respond to God and work that out in his very troubled marriage. You could sense a sort of a softening. The hardness was not the same. And then she turned to her and began to affirm her. And then the surprise thing was, she said, "Now I want you to encourage one another." Let me just pause for a moment. Here's a very important truth. Negative will come out of you, out of me, with ease. Negative words and negative language from your body. Your body is speaking things even when your mouth is not. Negative will come out of your mouth and out of your body with ease. You need no lessons. You need no special books to read. But positive words that encourage and lift up another person will only come out of you with hard work. I learned that from Marie, my mentor. She forced them, "You're going to practice the just being an encouragement to one another." I watched a literal relational miracle occur before my eyes. They both were required to swallow their pride. The temperature in that room changed. It was a holy atmosphere. The kingdom of God filled that little space. Tears flowed. Forgiveness was offered one to the other, and ownership of wrongdoing occurred. Just simply because she required them to encourage one another. See, you have no idea what God can do. Talk about a can-do series. What God will do through a single life who will say, "God, I can be, with your strength and your help, a voice of divine encouragement." See, everybody you know is up against something that you can't see. And let me tell you a secret. Every one of them is desperate for encouragement. We've been through one of the most negative, depressing 12 months in all of our lives. the personal loss for people has just been, there are no words to express. As we've watched even a number of people who lost loved ones this year, they couldn't even gather. They couldn't even gather with family and friends to celebrate that life. I think of Tom Hughes, Tom's mom who passed away, and he couldn't even travel. Had to watch, I think, on an iPad, just a small, he hasn't even gotten back to even visit his mom's grave yet. The loss for people at a personal level has been just immeasurable. The racial and political unrest, division, and hatred has been just off the chart. The mental health issues that are impacting all of us because of our so much isolation, but especially children and students, has just been frightening. And then you add on top of it all a global virus that in the right situation can kill you. Somebody needs to be a word of encouragement, a bearer of hope. Who might that be? Well, stop holding your breath if you're looking to social media, if you're looking to local or national news, if you're looking to politicians or economists or even educators for that fact, then guess again, who might be the bearer of encouragement? It will be Christians. It will be those who are the followers of Jesus Christ. One thing I can tell you for sure is that none of us need more difficult words like the words that came from Job's supposed friends. Job, if you know the story, he's a good man. He's a godly man. And Satan goes after him and steals more than anyone could even imagine. And his so-called friends come to his rescue. They should have brought words that would have lifted his spirit and encouraged him. Or they should have said nothing at all and just sat with him in his grief. Instead, they get all up in his business and declare, "You had to do something wrong for God to bring such pain and punishment on your life." Here are the words from Job. Job spoke again. "I have heard all of this before. What miserable comforters you are." Anybody today a miserable comforter? "Won't you ever stop blowing hot air? What makes you keep on talking? I could say the same things if you were in my place. I could spout off criticism and shake my head at you. But if it were me, I would encourage you. I would try to take away your grief." Job said, "Look, if we could trade places, I would know exactly what to do. I would at least speak words of life to bring relief." Can I remind you? The Bible says your words are powerful. Listen to this scripture from Hebrews chapter 3. "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." How will you do that? "But encourage one another daily." Not occasionally, but daily. "As long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." What do unchecked words produce? Unchecked words produce sin, and sin produces coldness and hardness of heart. Here's the truth of this man who stands before you this weekend. "I need encouragement daily. There's a part of me, and it's a sinful part of me, But there's a part of me that wishes I didn't have to confess that to you. I wish I could tell you that I don't need encouragement on a daily basis, if at all. But the truth is, I need to be encouraged daily. And so do you. Encouraged daily so that none of us will throw in the towel to sin's hardening and deceitfulness. Now, here's what some people say. You know, I grew up in a home where there was zero encouragement. There were very few words, and the words that were spoken were hard. They were harsh, and they were difficult words. So because it wasn't done to me, I don't think I can do it to others. It doesn't come natural. I'm not gifted. Well, then I'm asking every one of you to drive a stake in the strength that God wants to provide for you and say that you're going to grow and learn to be an encourager. Now, where do I start? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I have a very simple place to begin. The first thing is this. Here it is. Start with this one thing. When you think something good, say it, express it. I don't care what the form may be. It may be in an old school note that you write. It may be an email, a text, social media. It might be a phone call, whatever it might be, but express it. I had one of the most wonderful illustrations of this, and I didn't ask permission, so I won't use their name. But someone came up and just handed me a card. And on that card, it said, Gatekeepers. And I was curious. I said, what is this? And they explained they had been reading the Bible, and the Bible had talked about the gatekeepers. And this individual said to me, I thought, you know, to keep the facilities of Christian Assembly functioning, the carpets cleaned and the windows washed and chairs set up. She said, I can only imagine that is an enormous operation. And I thought of those who do that on our behalf, and I wanted to send them a note. Would you read that to them? I thought, what an amazing encouragement that was. Imagine every marriage. Do you know that husbands and wives often they will be the greatest point of discouragement to one another? Those of you who are married, encourage each other. Do it in your family, with your kids, in your workplace, in your life group, in your classroom. Every place can become a center of encouragement. Ephesians 4:29, don't let foul and abusive language come out of your mouth. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Every relationship could be altered if your words could only be set free to bless and to build up. Instill confidence in one another. Tell your kids, I see God at work in you. Build them up. Build up your spouse. Build up your friends, and build up the community called Christian Assembly. All of us have a tendency to want to look far more put together than we really are. Encourage one another daily. And sometimes the person that you need to most encourage is you. How in the world do I encourage me? There's a wonderful story from 1 Samuel chapter 30. And King David is returning home to the city of Ziklag with his fighting men. They come upon the city and they find that the city was smoldering. It had been burnt to the ground. And worst of all was that every wife, woman, and child had been taken. And all you have to know is what happened to women and children who were taken captive by enemies to know, understand the response of his men. His men will turn on him. They're going to blame him for all of this. Now, maybe their thinking was, if we kill him and we take his head to our enemies, maybe then we can get back our women and our children. And by the way, welcome to leadership. Those of you that want to become leaders, make sure you study closely 1 Samuel chapter 30. But here's what the writer says. David was now in great danger because all of his men were bitter. They're blaming him about losing sons and daughters, and they began to talk of stoning him. But, and this one little statement, but David found strength in the Lord his God. David simply encouraged himself. Now, the Hebrew word that explains what David did was it simply means to talk to yourself, to tell yourself, to preach to yourself about God. Now, any great sermon, the best sermons always have one bullseye, one target, and it's God. If you walk away from a sermon and you're more impressed with the speaker than with God, then it's a bad sermon. A great sermon has God at the center of it. And David preaches to himself about God, about his goodness, about his faithfulness. When everything looked hopeless, he starts talking to himself. Now, here's a fact. The words that you most easily will forget are positive words. The words that you most readily will remember are negative, discouraging words. Someone can give you 10 compliments and then give you one complaint, and the one word that will live on in and with you is the negative word. Why is that? Because we are predisposed to cling to the negative. It's why the self-talk inside you has got to get born again. The words that flow through you. In fact, those who study the mind tell us that there is a non-stop flow of thoughts that go through your mind even when you are sleeping. You've got words inside you. David built himself up in the Lord by the words that he spoke to his own soul. Psalm 43 is a beautiful psalm where David just is so vulnerable as he pours his heart out to God. But then he talks to himself. Listen to these words. Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? And then suddenly you have this abrupt stop. I'm going to put my hope in God. I will praise him again and again, my Savior and my God. David is downcast and hurting. Things are dark. And then suddenly David says to himself, we're stopping this runaway train of discouraging words. David, it's almost like he pulls himself up by the collar and he says, self, you're going to trust God. David, I demand of you, you're going to put your hope in God. What's he doing? He's preaching. He's preaching about who God is, his protector, his provision, his powerful force in his life, his goodness, and his presence. My God knew this before any of this happened, and he's working all things for my good. Did you know that God has called you to be a preacher? Every one of us. Preach to others. Encouragement. Be a voice of encouragement. And preach to yourself. Why? Because every person you encounter is facing something that you can't see. And every one of us needs to daily be encouraged. As we close today, I want to just give you some words of encouragement. Here they are. There is no weapon that is formed against you that is going to prosper. You are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Because of the atoning sacrifice of our great God through His Son, Jesus Christ, your sins are all forgiven. You are a beloved son or daughter of the living God. Because of what Christ has done, the work and power and presence of His Holy Spirit, you are free from sin. You have been given the mind of Christ. You have been filled with the very Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You are the workmanship of God Almighty. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are more than a conqueror. You are salt and light to this crazy world. And you can do all things through Christ, who gives you the strength that you need. Will you drive a stake? Will you say, by the help of God, I'm going to learn to be a voice of encouragement to others in my life, and when necessary, I'll be a voice of encouragement even to myself. Christian Assembly, I want you to know that we have been in this very unnatural place for almost a year where we're having to talk to one another through screens. But listen, a day is coming. That day will come to an end. We'll be back. How I miss your faces. How I miss especially hugging your necks. But that day is coming. All things are in His hands. The writer to Hebrews says, He is holding it all together, sustaining it all by the word of His power. I pray that you will be encouraged in these days. And as God does that in you, you'll be that to one another. Let's pray together. In the great, encouraging name of our God, we give ourselves, we make ourselves available to you, Lord, to be divine encouragers. I can do all things through Christ. I can become a heavenly voice of encouragement. I can do it just in every situation. I pray, God, that you would make us that kind of a community, that kind of a church. Work that in us and through us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Chains are gone. No weapon formed shall prevail.
Well, thank you for being with us today online. And if you made a decision to follow Christ at any point during our service, or you would like to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, let us know so that we can have one of our pastoral team members follow up with you. You can email us at the address on the screen or text DECISION to the number 52855. Well, let me leave you with these words of benediction. May the God of all encouragement encourage you this week so much that it overflows your heart and your mind and your spirit, that you may be a voice of encouragement to each person you meet this week, in Jesus' name. See you next week, everybody.